All right, we're glad to see each one of you here this morning, and we trust that you will be blessed even more. I know that I've been blessed being here today, and I believe everybody has, but we want to be blessed more, and so let's break the bread of life. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 16, and we want to be reading from verse 21 through verse 25, and we want to speak to you this morning on the subject of getting self out of the way. Getting self out of the way. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 21. Now the Lord Jesus has just established that great and fundamental truth about His building of His own church, about who He really is, and what men say that He is, men who are unborn again. And He's just gotten through charging His disciples not to tell anybody that He was Jesus the Christ. Now, He had a reason for that. And as we read through the Bible, we grow to understand what that reason was. Because He had some things to perform as the Savior that weren't yet done. And so He bound them to silence about beginning to declare Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21 then we read, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now folks, in a very important way, the Savior right here in these verses, especially verses 24 and 25, and really we want to focus on those, the Lord Jesus in a really wonderful and central way lays down the clear boundary between true disciples and what I call nominal Christians. There's been a lot of commentary written about Jesus' statement here, and a whole lot of speculation about how far to go with it and what it means in its fullest sense, what it may mean in a literal sense and what it may mean in a general doctrinal sense. But what we do know and learn when we let the Lord Jesus' word sink into our brains and our heart is that He has very carefully defined what being one of His disciples means, what it takes to be one of His disciples. And I know that there have been religious people who have interpreted this to mean that you've got to go off to a monastery and live in days of fasting and scrubbing the floors of the steps of the entry into the worship place and wear rags and this kind of thing. It really doesn't mean any of those things, because what it really means is the Lord Jesus describing what it means to be a true disciple means denying one's self. That's what it means. And you know, I don't have a problem with trying to define what it means to deny oneself, because the Holy Spirit can do that for believers. The Holy Spirit can and will show believers what denying themselves really means. So the road to discipleship in Jesus' day was guaranteed to be a really tough road to walk. Those who were to become and became disciples of the Lord Jesus in His day in Israel met with some really strong rejection by their culture and their religious community because they were living among a Jewish culture, in which religion was the fundamental foundation of it. So the challenge to these first disciples certainly was large, folks. There's no doubt whatsoever about it. But today, we live in a different culture, and the things or the people that challenge us about being the Lord Jesus' disciples today are a little different than they were then. We don't live in a religious culture that imposes religious sanctions upon our behavior. But what we do have are some similar or parallel things that in fact work against us being faithful disciples to the Lord. What are some of those things? Well, to put it bluntly, things like living the good life and enjoying all the fleshly gratifications that we can enjoy here as Americans in an affluent culture, that's one thing. I mean, how much are we tempted to avoid practicing and following the pathway of true, faithful disciples of the Lord by all the attraction of those things that we can have out there by way of enjoyments that are readily available right downtown or in our own backyard, things that would obviously draw us away from being true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things that gratify our bodies and our minds, that fill us up with fleshly pleasures and fulfillment. That's one thing that can make the road hard for us, is facing that every day. And then pursuing the wealthy life and getting lots of material possessions and money and the things that material possessions can do for us by way of ease and comfort and the things that money can buy. That's another aspect of it, very similar to what I've talked about, but a little different in that some people pursue wealth because they lust after getting rich. And they enjoy those things that gratify the flesh as a secondary thing. But either way that you look at it, this kind of allure by what we enjoy here as Americans poses a great threat to us following the true disciple path. And what about living the family life, surrounded by our loved ones, pursuing all the things that families do together? What about that one as a temptation to draw us away from being true disciples? We probably know some people who worship family over God today. That's why they're out on the lake right now in their boats with their families, or down at the beach, or at some recreational place. That's the reason they're there. They're enjoying all of the things that families can do together, all of the things that the comfort and camaraderie of family life can bring to them. It poses a real temptation to avoid, to not go after being a true disciple. All these things can present to us the opportunity to please self, to gratify self, to fulfill self. And that's exactly the opposite of our Lord's words here in these verses. Now, having the power that they do, they become challenges to the Lord's teaching that if we are to be His disciples, we are to deny self and take up our cross and follow Him. Now let me say here that denying self and taking up our cross and following Christ does not mean we have permission to abandon our responsibilities and our society to our families. Where it doesn't give us a license to abandon our families. It doesn't give us a license to do any of those things of abandoning our responsibility that we have before us as human beings and as children of God, as Americans. There are certain things that we're bound to be responsible for. So this charge by the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean abandoning those things. But it does mean, listen to me folks, it means prioritizing the things in our lives so that being a disciple of Jesus Christ in the sense of our text comes first. You might say, how in the world can you live in an American society today and put discipling for Jesus up front on the top of the list? It can be done. Amen. And in fact, that's what Jesus challenges us to do in our text. Now that being said, I want us to think today about denying self and taking up our cross in the light of what self represents and what denying self represents and what the burden is when we make up our minds as God's people to do so. So what about self? What's so bad about self? You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that no man ever yet hated his own flesh. And the Apostle Paul doesn't seem to condemn that in that portion of Scripture where it's stated. So what's wrong with self? Well, let's just look at some things that we see in our own selves and can see in our own selves that's wrong with self that needs to be kept under control. First of all, self wants everything for itself. You might say, well, I know a lot of people that serve themselves, but the ultimate gain, the ultimate goal of what they're doing is they want everything for their family, just like I said, because that turns right back on itself. Because if we have a longing, a desire to do the things that we do in our life so that our family can gain, that's self-fulfillment, folks. That's all it is. And so self wants everything for itself. And you know, you might say, well, I give of myself to causes and so forth. I'm going to ask each one of us today to examine the root cause, the root motivation of why we can say, and we probably all can say, that we give of ourselves to certain things. I want us to get down there below it all and look at the root cause of why we do, because that will answer the question and give us insight into the Lord Jesus' statement that he that will come after me must deny himself. This self, and I don't think anybody is confused about this. This self I'm talking about is what we call the flesh, okay? And the Bible calls it the flesh. So this self, this flesh of us, then seeks its own things. For instance, self seeks praise and glory for itself. There's not a one of us alive that aren't tempted to get a little bit of recognition, a little bit of acknowledgement, a little bit of praise for self. Folks, that's part of the self. And that's the now keep in mind, and I hope you keep going back to this, Jesus says, must deny himself. If you don't keep going back to that, you'll forget what my train of thought is moving toward. So self seeks its own praise and its own glory. Praise God when one of God's people seeks only to glorify their Lord. That's wonderful. But inside of that believer, there's always a gnawing temptation to try to somehow get a little credit to himself for what's going on. It's there, folks. He that cometh after me must deny himself. We got to beware of that little sneaky guy in there that wants a little recognition for himself, a little praise for himself, a little acknowledgement for himself, a little glory for himself. Self hungers then for personal recognition. And then probably worst of all on an individual level, folks, for each one of us, is that self seeks pleasure and satisfaction for the flesh. Where does the desire for something that's plainly carnal come from that wells up in your brain from time to time? Where do you think that comes from? Self. And what is the charge of the Lord Jesus Christ? He must deny himself. If you ever and I ever intend to get the dominance over the fleshly desires of who we that live inside of us, we must deny that self, those fleshly desires, folks. We've got to. The only way you get rid of them, the only way you'll overpower them, the only way you'll ever become the dominant force as the new creature in Christ Jesus over this old man that lives and strives inside of each one of us. Now, let me just say this at this point. We've looked at a couple of things that self wants and self is and self thinks and self desires. Self will take over and drive our behavior if we just let him have a free rein. He'll take over. We must deny ourselves, says the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will take over and he will drive our behavior if we let him. Now, I've already pointed out the fact that self will obviously drive fleshly behavior. And I don't mean that we can excuse ourselves when some lust or desire wells up in us to do something that's transgression against God. I don't mean to say that, oh, the devil made me do it or something like that. We can't. I don't want us to think that I'm excusing any of us, including this preacher, under those conditions. If self is allowed to lead you to a place of transgression, guess who's to blame, folks? We are in our own selves. That's who's to blame. So self will obviously drive fleshly behavior. But here's the thing I want us to really realize and think about and take home to your hearts, and that is that flesh sometimes drives what appears to be spiritual behavior, but really is not spiritual behavior. And I want to dwell on that for just a minute, because this is an important part of denying self that we really need to get a hold of, folks. I believe today in America, we have a lot of really born-again believers who do some things called religion and religious behavior, and if we could get down to the root of why they're doing them, I'm afraid, sadly, that we would find that the motive has to do with fulfilling of self. And that's a threat. It's a threat to our service to God, because God won't accept a religious or a so-called spiritual offering to him that has as its foundation something that gratifies the self. Now, you can get gratification for yourself out of doing something for the Lord, but if that's the first cause, if gratifying self is the root cause of why you do something and call it religion or serving God, get something else as the motive. Something that belongs to the kingdom of heaven, because you're off on the wrong track. And so I say again, I believe that in America today, there may be a lot of God's people that are motivated to do some spiritual and religious thing that they're doing, and the motivation, the ground root cause, is something to do with self-gratification. I was reminded by somebody I talked to the other day that people sometimes go to church just because of appearances or to keep up a reputation. Think of what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. If the root cause of going to church is to keep up appearances or to keep your reputation at a place you want it to be, what is the root cause? Can you see that the root cause is self-fulfillment, self-gratification, self-image? That's what it is. We need to recognize that if it's in us, we need to purge it. Because it is in fact misdirected when we feel that way. But some people do. They keep up faithful church going because of appearances. Because their reputation is at stake. they work in an atmosphere or they run in an atmosphere where people have some kind of religion and some kind of a moral kind of standard. And part of that moral standard says, you got to go to church. And so they're driven by habit, by keeping up a reputation to practice certain religious things. Some people, folks, perform religious activities because what they're doing gives self-satisfaction and self-accomplishment. In other words, they practice it because that's a kind of a grain that runs in them. They get personal satisfaction out of a religious effort, and so they do it. It sets up a nice schedule, and it's part of their weekly schedule. And they get gratification out of following their schedule or whatever it is. It ends up being something they do, but because of self-accomplishment. Now, again I say, it's okay to get gratification out of doing something for the Lord. But we got to make sure that getting gratification isn't the root cause. When I was a kid, we had Vacation Bible School down there at the church I later years became a member of. And every summer, the ladies of the church would come around and round up the kids to go to Vacation Bible School. And us kids were ready to go to Vacation Bible School. You know why? I'm going harking back to how I thought back then. And I'm guessing 90%+ of all kids think the same way. You know why we all wanted to go to Bible school? Boy, they had some great cookies and a wonderful Kool-Aid and almost could get all we wanted when we were there at Bible school. And also, hey, we were out of school for the summer, but we could get with some of the kids we went to school with and play there at Vacation Bible School every day. Incentive? What was our motive? What was our motive as little ignorant kids back then? Why, it was self-satisfaction. We were getting self-satisfaction out of going and exercising a religious thing, but we were drinking Kool-Aid and eating cookies and playing with our friends out on the playground, weren't we? Yeah, that's the way it is. I mean, I know that's making it fairly simple, but you can carry that over into an adult situation also. So today, we've got grown-ups that go to church because they can drink Kool-Aid and eat cookies, in a manner of speaking. Of course, I'm using that as an example. And so, this is the thing we have to avoid. Because the Lord Jesus says he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Today, going to church can help people socialize, and that becomes a reason why a lot of people in America, I can't speak for other countries, a lot of people in America go to church today to socialize. And hey, what better place to socialize than a church on Sunday, since a lot of your friends are going there, and hey, they've got all kinds of entertainment going on that you can get into in a lot of churches today. Don't worry about holding forth the things of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, this is a social gathering. We've got to introduce things that help people socialize and have a good time. That's the attitude in a lot of so-called churches today. And folks, it feeds into this thing of not denying self. You can fill self up and still go to church. Wow. That's the way it works sometimes. I know a guy that just loves to do construction work. He was a house builder for a number of years. He loves to have that hammer, nail, and saw in his hand. And every summer, he goes to South America and builds houses as a mission project with his church. Now, I have to ask the question, is he going as an act of denying himself and following the Lord? Or is he going and doing it for Christ in a way, or just going and doing it for himself, if you will? He gets to go to South America, and I'm not casting aspersions. I pray to God he's doing it because he's making a sacrifice for Christ. But I'm just using it as an example. He loves carpentering. He loves architecture. He loves designing and building. And he goes down there and builds houses, gets a little vacation off down there, building houses and having fun with all the other guys that went down there to build houses. Is he going for himself? Is he going for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm presenting that so that we can ask ourselves the same question. Are we where we are? Are we doing what we're doing for ourselves so that we get gratification? Or are we sacrificing of self in order to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the big question we really have to answer. And I have an experiment for us as God's people to use to measure what the answer is to this question. Because a good way for the Lord's people to learn the difference between religious things done for self-fulfillment and religious things done for unselfish service to Christ, listen to me, is to intentionally take on a ministering, and I don't mean the preacher up here, I mean something that you minister in your life, that you do in a way of service. Take on a project of doing some kind of service to Christ that you know you do not like and that you know you do not want to do. Take it on and perform it. Folks, I want to tell you something that'll do for us. It'll get us to get down deep inside our heart and look at what we're up to and what we're really doing stuff for the Lord for. Because it's quick. You can quickly differentiate between sacrificing, taking up that cross and following Christ by denying yourself. You can quickly identify the difference between that and doing religious activities for self-fulfillment if you just dare to take on something you don't like doing in the first place. Because it's something that is a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll bring you to the reality of where you stand. Now let's be reminded, folks, that self hinders and opposes the spiritual person that is in us. Let me say it again. Self hinders and opposes the spiritual person that is in us. Galatians 5:17, the apostle tells us that very plainly. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, saith he there. And so it does. And listen, anytime you catch you, the person, resisting something that you know is of the work or process of the kingdom of God, just trust me when I say that self raising his ugly head. Amen. That's what it is. And so be aware that the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Now Christ's wording in our text suggests that we're going to have a struggle when we do this, when we deny ourselves, and it'll be a burden to us to do this very thing that he's commanding his true disciples to do. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The phrase deny himself has the idea of telling oneself no. Can you see that in there? Let him deny himself. Self comes groveling. Let's do this. No! Oh, come on, boss. Look, we can do this. No! But think how wonderful it'll be. How much pleasure we'll get out. How good it'll be for us inside. No! That's what this is talking about. It's when the time comes that self says, I want to be dominant. I want something for self, for me. The child of God, having the new nature, must, in order to deny himself, say no. If he doesn't say no, guess who's going to get it done? Guess who's going to get to have it their way? Old self is. Must deny himself. Now, take up the cross also has the idea of shouldering a burden. That's what the Lord gives us a word image, word picture there of. Listen, folks, this is no mystery what he's talking about by taking up his cross. When it's a burden to force yourself to give up what it craves, what fulfills it, what satisfies it, and what puts it in command. It's a burden to say no to the flesh. And every one of you that have ever won a victory against the flesh lusting after something that it doesn't need to be, that you don't need to be going after, you know about this. You know clearly about it. Now, you know, parents, we walk through the aisles at Walmart a lot, and when we're shopping for something, we're looking for a particular thing, or we're maybe looking for a set of things. We walk through Walmart, and we see a lot of parents shopping with their kids, and parents walking around Walmart spend a lot of time telling their young folks no. Some of them don't say it that blunt, but it's no anyway, whether you say it that way or some other way. Now, when do they say no to their kids? Well, they say no when they're denying those kids something that those kids are asking them to get for them, and that is exactly the way it transpires now for a child of God who has the new creature. Amen. The self comes groveling and asking for something that the new creature does not intend to give him. And we'll spend a lot of time saying no to that old creature if we do it the Lord's way and fulfill his charge to us here, what he's telling us. Now, let me say again, in another way of wording it, that this statement by the Lord Jesus Christ is, listen to me, it is the fork in the road that separates the true disciple from those who are simply unwilling to make the sacrifice and shoulder the burden that this command from the Lord Jesus tells us to do. Being Christian in name only, folks, is easy as long as you don't have to give up anything. And I know some people who have professed Christ who give up nothing and think that they don't have to. And you probably know some too. What is that? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Does that sound like a description of that kind of person to you? I don't think it does. I believe this is a charge by the Lord to do just the opposite. Making a sacrifice by saying no to your own selfish goals and your own selfish wants is the hard part that separates the wheat from the chaff. And folks, chaff cannot be wheat, and wheat is never chaff. Now, if we never challenge ourselves, if we never challenge ourselves about which way we are going to go with the fork in the road, if we never challenge ourselves when we get to that why, guess what? We're not true disciples. Because if the flesh, that is self, is always given what it wants, there's no doubt which one of those forks we are taking. No doubt whatsoever. Now I want to close with a word about the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now, commentators, Bible scholars have rendered this two different ways and depending on what subject they're talking about. But I want to render it in a way that leaves a message of admonition to the people of God. And that's the way I want to do it for this message. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let me say this. A believer's life that is spent serving self will bring that believer to an end that is empty. Has nothing in it worth notating. An end that has no value to it whatsoever. An end in which when that believer inventories his or her life, he or she will be forced to come to the conclusion that the life that they lived was absolutely wasted. We can derive that conclusion from the Lord's statement, and we're on good ground to do it. On the opposite side of that, believers who sacrifice self-interest wherever and whenever they are called upon by the Lord to do so in order to serve the Lord are going to be able to inventory their lives at the end of their life and conclude with satisfaction and joy, folks, and that's valuable. With satisfaction and joy, they're going to be able to inventory their life and find out that they had found the right life, the right way, the right path, the blessed life, the blessed way, the good way, following the Lord Jesus Christ, the right way of living it, the right way of doing it, and the way that leads them to the end of life in which they will have no regrets about wasting a life following the interests of self. Now, folks, let me close with one statement. We have the right and the privilege to pursue some things that relate to self-interest. We do. And you can find that the Bible does, in fact, approve that. But it has... there's a limit to that. When those things that we may be tempted to pursue conflict with our Christian duty and our Christian privilege, when they conflict, we have to refuse to choose the things of self over the things of service to our Lord. And that is the crux of what the Lord Jesus is talking about. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Those are the words of the Lord. Can we do it? We're able. The Lord will make us quite able. But are we willing to do it? And I know that if we as God's people are willing to do it, I know one of the biggest problems and pitfalls with getting on the right course is to look at how we're thinking about our service to the Lord versus what we're doing for self. And say, am I really doing stuff for self that is causing me to put myself up on priority list above doing service to the Lord? Folks, it's a hard, hard test. But I have to tell you, I really believe that our Savior has taught us that if we don't inventory and we don't say, look, I would really like to do that. I would really like to keep doing that. But hey, I can see right now that that's contradicting how I'm to serve my Lord. So I'm not going to do it. And I say to you, self, no! That's what we've got to do, folks. The other hard part is to discover whether it is the Holy Spirit motivating or something that we're doing that we're calling service to Christ or worship to Christ, whether it's the Holy Spirit and a genuine intent to serve the Lord or itself getting self-gratification out of doing those things. That's the other hard part of it. We need to know, folks. We really do. I need to know whether what I'm doing for my Lord is born of some secret little nudge by myself and He's even gratified by it, but that's really the foundation reason I'm doing it. I need to know whether it's that or whether down at the bottom I'm saying that I'm doing this because it is the way the Lord has led, what He's inspired, what He's strengthening me to do, and I'm doing it to please Him and not myself. We need to know the difference.